Welcome back to another episode of the Hooligans Pitch. As always, it's Michael and Chad, episode 91. Hey. What's up, Chad?
What is up, party people?
I'm freezing. That's what's happening.
You're freezing. It's a little chilly here today, but, you know, a brisk, like, 60.
Okay, you got double digits. That's good. That's good. We're 1 degree off of single digits, so we'll be there tonight. Let's get into it. Let's start our drinks. I have a beer that I've talked about before, but they changed their design on the can, and I won't lie, I'm not really a fan of the design. It's Son of Juice. You've seen me drink this before. Oh, yeah. But it used to be kind of a white and gray, I don't know, cool pattern, and now it's, I don't know, pink and purple. It's fine. It's Seems love the drink. Boring. Yeah, they could have done more. They could have done more. But I really like this beer, so.
All right, well, there you go. Can't have it all. So, I'm on the Baja Blast hard Baja Blast. This one and the OG one, I think, are the faves. The Livewire one's a little on the sweet side, and then they have a watermelon one, which is like way too sweet for me.
Oh so. Yeah, I bet. Chad, we're in a bit of a tundra right now.
Mm-hmm.
But did you know trees cannot grow in a tundra?
No.
Well, the forest is proving that wrong. 6 wins in a row for the first time since 1967.
They're cooking.
Morgan Gibbs White, man. I when I was doing my winter transfer window last night, I really wanted to get a forest player in there. I didn't want a forest player that anyone else had, and gosh darn it, I hesitated a little bit. I'm happy with my pick, but I really wanted Morgan Gibbs White. After seeing him score again today,
yeah.
I don't regret it, but man, they're smoking right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when, a season or two ago, it was him and Brennan Johnson that were like the stars, and, you know, Brennan Johnson got the move to Spurs, but no one ever really came for Gibbs White. And,
yeah.
I didn't really understand why, because I thought, you know, he looked pretty good. Maybe he just signed a new deal or something, so they're asking too much. I don't know, but yeah, you know, Forrest is looking good, and hey, they scored more than one goal today, so that's a plus for them. They need to help that goal differential, so yeah, you know, I was a little bit interested in how this game would go, considering like Wolves seem to have shown up a little bit, but trees are stronger than Wolves, apparently.
Tough day for Saw. No saves. And that hurts. It's never a good day when you see 3 goals go past and you don't get a hand on any of them. Yeah. Especially throughout the whole game. So yeah, I feel for Wolves a little bit here. I thought they would have a little more too. They're just missing pieces. They're missing a lot. Again, they're going to be on that fringe relegation spot, but I'm just jealous of what Forrest is doing right now, because it's simple, and there's no complaints. Everyone's doing their part. Everyone has a role. Mm-hmm. It just looks nice, and I'm really thankful Liverpool's having the season of a lifetime, or else they would be like right in this thing, which it's. And I'm not saying they aren't, because they are. They're right there. They're tied with Arsenal. 20 games in. It's who would have thunk, you know?
Yeah, it's a crazy run. I almost kind of wish that, like, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea were, like, a touch worse, just so we could have one of those seasons like Leicester winning. Like, if Forrest just sprang back into life and won the whole thing. Like, yeah, we want to see our teams win, but I love the little underdog story, the team that came out of the blue that no one was even considering to win. Would have been cool. I mean, I guess they're up there technically still in the running, but yeah, it's quite the sight to behold, and I still feel like it's like people aren't really taking it too serious with them up there. Like,
yeah, when
you don't hear too much talk about them.
When will they be considered like actual possible title favorites? I mean, if Liverpool drop a game here, it's going to be really tight.
The most I hear about them seems to be in like a joking way against Arsenal of like, oh, Arsenal's, you know, behind Forest or, you know, level with Forest. And it's just like kind of a dig at Forest while digging at Arsenal. But like, they're up there 20 games in. It's a deserved place. And, you know, if Arsenal fans want to believe that, you know, they're still in the running, then Forest fans can surely say the same. Like, it's 6 points off plus a game in hand. But, you know, it's, if you just look at the recent form, Forest is besting both Arsenal and Liverpool. So,
I don't know. There's been some rumors that teams from Italy are coming for Chris Wood right now, which I think is a, I don't know, kind of a maybe a slap in the face to Forest. I mean, like, we're going to take your striker, and you look at the other teams around them, no one is putting up bids for their strikers or top goal scorers right now because they know they're going to say, no, that's not happening. Yeah. So I hope if Forest is going to consider a transfer, they're not going to take away Chris Wood. He's not, you know, the most sparkly player you're going to have out on the pitch, but he does what he needs to do. He puts balls in the net. It's simple. They're tap-ins. But hey, sometimes that's all you need. Sometimes that's all you want. You know, I can't say I'm jealous that you have Chris Wood, but I am jealous you have a guy who has like a pretty perfect record of finishing. And I think that's why teams are knocking.
It kind of reminds me of like kind of towards the end of Giroud's time at Arsenal. He was played more of that like super sub role, but he would come in and score a goal. And was it flashy? No. Was it, you know, him bombing down the wing and putting someone on their butt before he scores? No, of course not. But he was getting the goal, and you know, that's what you need from your striker. You know, if there's all the talk of Arsenal needing a striker, I don't think Chris Wood is it, but you know, you have a proper striker there where, you know, Arsenal doesn't have an out-and-out striker like that, which Chris Wood in the team, maybe it would have changed something. I don't know, but it just, I mean, that move would have never happened. But, yeah, so I don't think Forrest will be dumb enough to let him go. I would hope that Chris Wood is enjoying the ride of this season and wants to see it out. And, I mean, heck, if you keep going at this trajectory, you're in Champions League next year. Like, that's craziness. And you know, you're maybe never thought you were going to get to that point in your career, and
33,
so you might as well ride it out and see what happens. You know, don't jump ship now.
Well, if you are going to jump ship, go to another team that's in, I mean, the teams that are knocking are from Champions League too, so it's kind of a win-win if you're Chris Wood right now. Definitely in the twilight of your career probably your best season to date. Maybe just not stats wise, but at least the way you are playing. Absolutely. Yeah. He's on pace to have the most minutes of his career. He needs two more goals to pass his highest tally in the Premier League. He had 14 with four. I'm sorry. He had 14 with Forest last year. And they had 14 with Burnley, about 6 years ago. So Forest, man, they just keep on trucking. I just need to give them flowers every time we come in here and speak on them. Did we expect them to beat the Wolves? Yeah, we did. But this is now their sixth win in a row, the highest amount of goals they've scored in a game this season. They've had a couple games with three, but that's important for them. And another clean sheet. Yeah. Another.
And what? I didn't see who played, but I think, is Mario still out injured?
I thought he got in today. He was in today.
He might be back. Yeah. But I mean, still, you're getting these clean sheets. You're now getting a handful more goals. You know, you're still, you know, 11 goals off of Arsenal. So if it comes down to a goal differential, you got some work to do, but you're still up there. You're getting the 3 points, which, you know, is the biggest thing at this point. You got a nice little gap on Chelsea below you, so you can afford to mess up once or, you know, two draws or something. But, I personally, I think, just got to start watching them a little bit more because Like, I see them up there. I see them getting the wins here and there. But I don't really see, like, what they're doing too much. So maybe I got to tune in here on this back half of the season and see what they're doing.
They didn't have Nico Williams today at right back, so they put in Ola Aina, I think is his name. And usually plays a little more midfielder, but him on that right wing was so nice. Really quick on his feet. He had, we don't have the stats in front of us yet, but I want to say he made, it felt like at least 3 to 4 interceptions. I'm going to see if Who Scored has it. Okay. But definitely a menace. They only have him as two, but two tackles, two interceptions. So a mix of them.
I think I remember him giving Arsenal a hard time probably last season.
Okay.
Cause yeah, he is quick and seems to, if I remember correctly, kind of be willing to drive at players and, you know, cause a little bit of that chaos. So, you know, not a bad backup option if Nico Williams can't be out there.
Nope. So, Forrest, man. And then Sells, of course, clean sheet, 5 saves.
I wish it was Matty T, but I get it.
Or Carlos Miguel. Now, see, this is like, this is the curse, right? It's got to be the curse. Every Forrest keeper that comes in there who we want, they ain't going to get it. So we got to stop believing in their keepers, apparently.
I just want to see Carlos in there one time. I know.
We might see him. We might see him this week against Luton in the FA Cup.
That's true.
So, okay. But yeah, I want to see him in Premier League too. I do.
Yeah, big boy back there. I want to. Yeah, we're talking trees. That's a tree back there. I mean,
who's meant to be? Okay, let's get on to the coldest game of the year. Liverpool and Man U. Mm-hmm. I don't like excuses, Chad. I don't. But that was a cold game.
I didn't realize it was that cold over there. And then that morning I started seeing posts of like, oh, they're talking about maybe delaying the game and postponing and all this. Yep. And then I looked into it and I was like, oh, yeah, it's pretty cold.
It was 32 degrees at kickoff. And it hovered around there. And so, you know, again, Man U had to play through those conditions too, right?
Yeah.
It's not just Liverpool who had a problem with the pitch. But I will say so many of our passes were so bad.
It was the pitch definitely played a role for both teams, but you could see passes just die on there.
Die or too hard or just terribly misplaced or miskicked. I want to say more Man U players were probably sliding than Liverpool players in that game.
I think so.
It was frustrating. It was frustrating to watch. You know, luckily, it's like this game really didn't mean a whole lot considering Arsenal and Chelsea both drew this weekend too. So it was an okay game to draw. However, I don't know if you saw, but Virgil looked very, very, very disappointed in how some of his players were playing that game, i.e. Trent. You know, with all the background noise going on with Trent right now, there's a big spotlight on him. And the internet likes to do this flip-floppy thing where we love Trent. He told us with his celebration he's not leaving. And then he has a, we'll call it a mediocre game in 32-degree weather where he wasn't hustling. And people are like, we don't want him. He's gone. And it's just like, oh, man, dude, I hate this back and forth. Yeah. You know, we have to see the bigger picture here that you're allowed to have a bad game. I understand the frustration with the fans and how he played. We just have to remember, like, this kid was homegrown to Liverpool. We want to keep him around. He is really, really good. Bad games happen. We can't let him see how frustrated we are with this one game and let it affect long term. Because, you know, a lot of comments are, let him walk. Not worth the money. Yada, yada, yada. Dude, it's bad. It wasn't great. And I understand both sides of it, too, from Trent's point of view. If we want to talk about that transfer or, you know, potential rumor. Transfer rumor, right? You know, Jamie Carragher came out and said if he was in Trent's spot right now, he's basically jealous of where Trent is right now.
Sure.
With one of the best teams in all of Europe, has the potential to do a quadruple if they really wanted to this year and do this for the next several years. Mm-hmm. When we look at Liverpool in the past, when we had great players, i.e. Torres, Suarez. Those guys were in Liverpool teams that weren't the best teams in Europe, and yeah. they were the carriers, right? And we kind of had to let those guys go, mm-hmm. right? We didn't have a choice. Like, yes, they needed to earn trophies at other clubs because they couldn't do it at Liverpool. We're in the exact opposite situation here. Yet he wants to possibly leave. Like, ooh, that stings a little.
Yeah, I hear you. I think, you know, he's already had a great amount of success at Liverpool, so I think, you know, yep. that might just play on him of, you know, okay, I've been raised at this club, you know, I've hit the goal of starting for this club and becoming a mainstay and, you know, winning the league, winning Champions League, all the honors that he's won with Liverpool. You know, what, 25, I think he is. I could see, you know, not necessarily that you're, you know, you want out of Liverpool or you're tired of it, but, you know, Madrid is a one of the biggest names out there, and they're kind of seeming to want to build some, like, new Galacticos kind of round two. And, you know, if you can be part of that, I understand how it can kind of turn your head, but I think, yeah, real fans would want you to stay and, if not be like the one club legend, do like, you know, a Messi thing where you're there for like pretty much your whole career and then just kind of go off to onto the MLS. And I mean, sure, he went to PSG, but like...
it was the twilight stage.
Yeah.
If I was management, I would ask Trent a pretty simple question at the end of the season is, do you want a statue? If he wants a statue, you should stay. If you don't want one, then you should go. And I get it. Like, he's in, you know, the ages from 23 to 26 for most people, you travel abroad. You go see other things after you graduated college. Well, he graduated college with Liverpool's honors. He got his PhD already. He's like, what else do I got to do? So there's arguments for both sides of this. It's just all the noise of the rumors with a really bad performance. Those things just don't mesh well.
So and I think too is you know, Jude's over there, and I mean, I don't know how the media is in England, but I certainly don't come across any, you know, negative talk or press about Jude the same way I do about Trent.
He's on a podium.
It could be some of that too, of like, if I go out of country and play and have a bad game, like, sure, some people are still going to point at it, poke fun, whatever, but like, it might not gain as much like media attention and traction as I am now, because right now, like you said, it's, you know, one poor game or not even a bad game. It's just, it was a game where I think a lot of players weren't up to their best, and that could be due to the cold. It could just be to the, you know, amount of games they've played recently.
Yep.
But he always seems to be the one to kind of get that the spotlight on him of just like negative comments and negative articles, and, you know, kind of the new like Rashford or Sterling kind of vibe where it's just like, you're the problem child.
Yeah, it's tough. It definitely makes you wonder too, if Jude ended up at Liverpool, would Trent want to go to Madrid? I've always thought about that. I think no. I think when your good buddy is with you at the club, you probably don't want to leave it. So it
helps for sure.
I get that point of it too. I do disagree with you a little bit though. I do think the Spanish media would probably eat him up if he had a bad performance. I don't think
I'm saying, like, I don't know if it'll become such a big thing in English media as it is now when he has a poor game and it like blows up. Again, I don't know. Like, I don't really watch Madrid beyond whatever Champions League game they might be in that I'm watching. And, you know, I don't know if Jude has a bad game, if he does kind of blow up in English media, but it never really comes across my social sphere the same way something about Trent does.
I think even though Jude might be the best player on that team, I think there's a bigger name on Madrid being Mbappe. So
that's true too then, right? So like if Trent has a bad game in Madrid, he might be covered because Mbappe is also just not Mbappe.
I think so. I think that's probably best case scenario for him, where Mbappe has had now what, the World Cup winner, hasn't done Champions League. So that's one that's still up there, but it definitely seems he would be the scapegoat over those guys first. Vinny too, even. I mean, that team has so many star-studded names where, yeah, Trent would probably be, what, at this point, fourth, fifth on the pecking order?
Yeah, I'd say around there.
And he's not, with Liverpool, he's probably third-ish. So it's not too far off. Difference is homegrown kid from the club. That's the crutch for him with Liverpool. I don't know, man. It's just one of those things. You know, you saw it here over the summer. We Liverpool fans supported the hell out of him when he couldn't get into the English squad. We were maybe the thing that pressured Southgate to even play him a little bit, honestly. Like, how much pundits were saying, why isn't he playing? And, you know, he got his few minutes of time. That wasn't happening. Maybe he doesn't play at all. Who knows? It's just... Yeah, it's just frustrating to have that game. And again, he can bounce back. We saw this, back in September. He had a shit game. Slot talked to him. He looked pissed. And then, what do you know, we go on this crazy run. It could happen again. Yeah. I'm not too worried about it. Both teams didn't play their best. We played extra bad. It's probably our worst game of the year, honestly.
Just a little, frantic, I think.
Yeah, just not... Not as organized, it seemed like, except for when the moments when Gakpo scored. It seemed like a light switch went on, and everyone knew exactly what to do. Gakpo turned into international Dutch Gakpo and scored this banger. And then we kind of went into that, plateau phase again, waiting for things to happen instead of just, going for it. I do think the cold had something to do with it. Man, you also just, I think... got pretty lucky with how bad our passes were and then capitalizing off of those. I mean, come on, man. Martinez is playing near our 6-yard box and scoring left foot bangers, near shooting it near post and then finishing it top right. This will never happen again. It was a crazy fluke game.
Yeah, I think that's just one of those, the derby games, form kind of goes out the window for whatever reason. These teams this season are at basically opposite ends of the table, opposite ends of performances and form and everything. But here, if you only watch this one game, I think you would say they seem pretty evenly matched. But sadly, it's just that weird rival derby game that just has a different aura about it, right? Things get weird. But I mean, like you said, if you're gonna draw in a weekend, this was a good one to do it because the teams behind you, minus Forest, did that. So, it was a entertaining game as neutral in this. So,
at least the second half. First half, I was like, "Wow, it's kind of a snoozer." Just one more thing. Tim Howard, before the game started, noted that when the teams were in the hallway before they come out onto the pitch, that they were, he said, too happy. And I don't know if too happy is the word, too welcoming to each other.
Oh, and he wants to
rivalry. Yeah, and I get that to a point. You have to remember some of these guys are international teammates or have known each other for so long. But I do kind of wish there was a little more focus before going out on the pitch. I think that's the word Howard probably should have used for both teams, for both Man U and Liverpool. I think the focus before going out there was a little too... relaxed. Just a little relaxed. And I wanted let's go 8-0 these guys again. That focus was different. That focus was very different when we did that. It was we're gonna crush these guys. And part of that makes me think this happened is because Man U is not great right now. So they're let's just see what happens. And whatever happens, happens. That's honestly their mentality back 2 years ago when that happened. Man U was doing a lot better in the table and was striving for Champions League. So their focus was there, and we matched that. I don't know. It's dumb. I wish we would have won that game. We had opportunities, as did Man United, by the way. Harry Maguire. Oh, my God.
I mean, that ball comes in a little bouncy.
It does.
But Harry.
Sucks, dude. It could have been anyone else. It had to be him.
Yeah.
Did you see everyone drop?
I mean, yeah, it's like, I think literally it could have been anyone else and it would have been fine.
At least not as big of a deal, but yeah.
Harry Maguire had to be you. Yeah. I do want to talk, just because Mo keeps bringing it up, I want to talk contracts with you.
Mm.
You got three big ones here. Salah, Van Dijk, Trent.
Yep.
I don't think you're keeping all three. I don't think Liverpool's wage structure can support all three.
The big reason why, too, is because when you pay one of those guys for being a club legend, the other two are going to say, why aren't I a club legend and your eyes getting paid the same amount? So yeah, that's why I think this is being a lengthy process. I don't know who's going to bite first. I don't know who they're going to sign first. I think Mo has been the most vocal about it, rightfully so. I think he should be the one that gets signed first. I do. And then I think you go to Virgil, and then I think you do Trent.
I think you either keep Mo or you keep Virgil and Trent.
I agree with that.
Because Mo right now, according to Capology here, makes 350,000 pounds a week base. Virgil's 220, Trent 180, and you know there's bonuses in there, whatever. But if you're gonna keep Mo, obviously you're bumping up higher, probably eating into whatever you could give Trent or Virgil. So I don't know. I mean, you're saying you take Salah over potentially those two?
No, here's my thought in this, is I don't trust Trent to be happy for the length of his contract period.
Mm-hmm.
I expect whatever Salah gets for his contract period to be happy, because he's going to finish that out with Liverpool. Virgil, same thing, end of their careers. If we get into a 4 or 5 year contract with Trent 2 years in, we're 90% good, or Connor Bradley is starting to crush it. Yeah. And Trent's like, I want out. Okay. Do we just lose out on Mo's final years where he goes on an epic streak because now you're feeling bad that someone else is outplaying you? That's my fear there. That's why the pecking order, I think, is going to probably go oldest to youngest, just because of where they are in their careers. If we can keep all three, beautiful. If someone will take a pay cut, awesome. I think Trent is just such a young, maybe indecisive player where he's been teasing. Like, he could just say right now, I'm staying here. He could.
Yeah.
He could. Yeah, yeah. Like, Mo is kind of, he's saying Liverpool hasn't offered me anything and saying, like, this is my final year to get Liverpool to hurry up and offer him something. That's what's happening. Yeah.
He's playing the game. He knows.
He's playing the game. He's been there. He's done this. And he's going to get a statue. Like, that's the Mo that we're getting right now, is even if he leaves, he's probably going to get a statue in front of Anfield. Yeah. Virgil's probably on that same pathway too. Even though Trent's been along the ride with those two, his age makes a huge difference there. So I don't know. It's a tricky situation for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it would be hard to decide, because, you know, I think boardroom is probably looking at Trent's age of like, okay, well, we can offer him a contract for longer, and he's 25, so then, you know, we have years with him where, you know, Salah 32, Virgil 33, still both performing incredibly well considering other players at that age.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think you're probably more hesitant to give too many years in that contract because of that, which could be the thing that Mo wants, of just security for, you know, in the next 4 years or something. I don't know. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch. I do think it doesn't help that every reporter keeps asking Mo about it, and, you know, him saying that, they're far apart, they haven't offered, whatever. Like, I think it's on the outside feels like it's bringing in just extra noise, but it hasn't affected his performances, so I guess he's just enjoying it.
I think he's leaning into it. I think we're all kind of leaning into it more. Even Slot says, you know, little comments about, you know, best player in the world, like, you know, we should probably sign the guy. He's pretty good. And Trent's 26 too.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you were to ask me if I expect to see Trent at Liverpool when he's 30, I'd probably say no. I would lean more towards no than yes.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be like, almost like, what was the Miami Heat when they signed, like, I don't know, LeBron and whoever else. I want it to be something like that, where it's just like, we're not going anywhere. We're seven more.
Not one, not two, not three, not four. Yeah, that was the big three in Miami. LeBron took a crazy pay cut. The wage structure in the NBA during that time was crazy. So you could break cap if you had a player that had been on your team for X amount of years, and then they basically brought in two other players for the same amount, breaking the league essentially. That can't really, and again, that doesn't happen in the NBA anymore. That's long gone. Yeah. He was getting paid, just God, NBA talk really quick. That year he got paid $15 million. D Wade got 15, and I think Chris Bosh got like 12. Now LeBron is pushing $48 million a year.
Oh, jeez.
So like that's how crazy the NBA payroll is. It's yeah. Stupid. But yeah, I don't think that could ever happen here.
I don't think so, but I think it would be great, especially if this had been like, I don't know, decided now, but then they don't say anything till the end, and you know, other teams and other fans are, you know, oh, finally a Liverpool without Salah, a Liverpool without Van Dijk, and like, psych, we're still here.
to equalize on that, that would be like, let's take, say, Cole Palmer and Haaland want to come team up with Mo, but they're taking like 60% pay cuts to come do it. Yeah. That's what that would be like. Sadly, I think since Virgil is on the older side and Trent is on the indecisive side, it's like, how many more years we got left? And then it's going to be that I wish we knew we were in the glory years after the glory years. Like I'm really starting to feel that right now. We're like, this is the best of times, because in a year, those three guys might not be with Liverpool. That's crazy. That would
be crazy. Yeah.
That's crazy.
If they're all three gone, that'd be an insane drop in quality. Like,
hey, if you quadruple, kind of a sick mic drop.
That's fair. I mean, yeah, if you're going to go out, and you go out with a bang like that,
I can't like hate you for it. I can't, like, you just went crazy this year. So yeah, man, it's like in the little back of my mind right here, it's going to be there for a while, especially if we start to dip in performance. It's going to get louder.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Cause then it's like, do we even want them? That's what's going to happen. It's happening with Trent right now. If Mo Salah drops form, which,
so what, he does this where he scores one goal instead of two and an assist, or like,
I don't know what it would take for people to turn on Mo. I don't. Yeah. Virgil, it's his injuries that I'm worried about. Mm-hmm. And then Trent, it's just the straight work ethic. It's crazy how all three have very different potential problems that could arise.
Yeah.
So, and Father Time is undefeated. Mo's 32, Virgil 33.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thanks for coming to our Liverpool podcast.
Hey, man. It's a lot. We're halfway through the year.
Yeah.
Had to get that out. We were on such a high like 2 weeks ago. Now we're like, oh, shit. Back to the game. Handball, do you lit?
Yeah. I mean, it's an unfortunate one. Like,
can't do that.
It just, yeah, you can't, your arm can't be up like that. Sorry. Like, you know, it's just how it goes. I get it. It's hard to take as a fan, but that's just how the handball rules work, especially, you know, against defenders in the box. That's goes that way. But
It wasn't natural enough, and he wasn't close enough for me to feel for him.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I didn't have any issues with it. I've seen a handful, I'm assuming more United fans online, you know, giving issue to it, but I feel like I've seen that call plenty of times. So.
All right, I got, so I'm in a group chat with people from Colombia. There's a big Man United fan that I'll keep him nameless, but when he started the game, he said, oh God, I just lost it. This ref loves Liverpool. He'll give a pen for sure at some point today. And I was like, come on, man. Like, one, Michael Oliver hates, like, he tries so hard to not give Liverpool anything.
Yeah.
And then it just went on, you know, about the handball, shouldn't have been a handball, and you know, the league's out to get us and all this stuff. And it's just like, oh, jeez, dude. And then he likes to do beer bets. So I asked him, I was like, want to do a beer bet for this game? And he said, someone should buy me a beer if we win because it'll be a miracle. And then by the end of the game, he has so much hope. He's like, we should have won that. And he starts going off again on a tangent. It's good friendly banter, but Yeah, I'm sorry, dude. That was a handball, and most, if not all, of everyone thought the same. Yeah. You just can't have your hand there. And I'm more, I think, on the side of if it hits your hand pretty much anywhere on the pitch, it's a handball. Like, the rules can't, unless it's so, like, inconvenient where, gosh, I don't even know if you're running or...
Yeah.
There's not a reason why your hand should be out there.
It would be, just make it way more clear, you know, instead of being this kind of big gray area and being able to try and overanalyze it of like, well, is that a natural position or like, is his body bigger now? And you know, it's just, the handball rule has been a mess, I think, for a good amount of years now. I think, you know, if you just blanket statement, like hits your hand, it's a handball. It's probably the easiest way to fix it. I mean, you might have some weird things pop up still of, you know, intentionally popping the ball up into an opponent's hand or something, but I don't know.
Straight jackets.
You might be onto something.
No more controversy. We're done. We're good. all right. I had enough on this game. We spent quite a while on it. All right, should we get to the Arsenal drama in and the just old another, noggin just another just day
the other another Arsenal game with weird weird calls, weird things happening. You know, right off the bat, this was, you know, not a great game from Arsenal by any means. They were missing a few players through injury, but then also some illness going through the team. So, you know, Odegaard's on the bench, Martinelli on the bench, Kai completely out. I think I liked the starting lineup for what we had. I expected Partey to be at the right back position, and I think he can hold that down pretty well. Obviously, you miss out on some of the attacking threat and intent that Ben White or Timber give over there, but, you know, if you got to play a more defensive game to get through the injuries and stuff, then what you got to do. But yeah, Ethan Nwaneri picks up a ball in some great space and just kind of drives, and Brighton defense don't want to step to him, and his shot's basically right at the keeper, but I don't know, keeper wasn't ready, I guess. But I think this was always gonna be a pretty close game. Like, you know, Brighton, while they've been in pretty like terrible form lately, I think coming back up against Arsenal after the hijinks of the game earlier this season is always going to like spring some life back into them. I think that happens. You know, it's, I think they certainly got better in the second half, where I think Arsenal just started to kind of tire out a little bit. You know, they don't have all the rotation options they would want to have. Yeah, and then just the craziest penalty call I've ever seen, I think.
That's up there.
Yeah. I kind of went back and forth on this one, honestly, until I saw, like, the definitive view where, you know, it does come off Saliba as well. like, there's a lot of argument in that because he pops the ball up and now is, like, using his head, he's, like, dribbling with his head. So, in Saliba not hitting the ball but hitting João Pedro's head, it's just like a missed tackle, right? Because he's dribbling through, and it's like, it's kind of a stretch, I think. Honestly, you know,
like, it kind of makes sense that you can't just like headbutt someone.
Sure,
but that's not what he was doing.
No, it seemed like a completely faithful attempt to play the ball, and you know, as we see, it does come off of him. So I think that's a fair challenge, and this became just a 50-50 challenge, mm-hmm. right? Where, you know, yeah, they both get hit, right? It's nothing malicious either way, but it just is one of those tackles that I think outside of the box probably doesn't get looked at. Maybe doesn't even get called a foul necessarily, and maybe just get stops for a potential head injury. I don't know, but just wild. And you know, all the soccer like subreddit is like, oh yeah, like clearest penalty I've ever seen, and all this. I was like, I don't really buy into all of it too much, because that's just internet trolls doing their thing. But it just seems a little bit crazy to me.
So I still don't understand why it was given us PK.
Look, Anthony Taylor called it on the field as such.
Right.
VAR checked it.
But, okay, so I'm VAR right now, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, so Pedro heads the ball. Saliba heads the ball. And then he also heads Pedro. But it was the follow-through from Saliba that caused the PK?
Correct. So in my head, they're, I guess, not seeing the ball come off of Saliba. So then it's
just a straight headbutt. But how do you not see that?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I get there's some angles where it's maybe a little bit difficult, but then there's that one angle from behind them, I guess, where it's pretty clear, especially when you slow it down, like VAR could and should, where, you know, you see the ball trajectory come off of Pedro and then all of a sudden change because it's now come off of Saliba. Like, that's not going to happen without some intervention. So I don't know how they missed that.
That doesn't seem like... I'm going to try to watch it right now. But that doesn't seem... That's... Dude, simple physics. You could look at that.
That's what I'm saying. It's right there. They just didn't see it, I guess, or didn't want to go against their mate, you know? I don't know.
Oh, that's crazy, dude. And how many times have we seen heads clash in the box and this happens? Like,
that's what I've heard a lot of pundits say too, is like, this happens on like every corner. Like, two heads hit, you know? Some are worse than others, yes, but like, you never see it get called for a penalty. And yeah, there is a degree where it could be called as a penalty. And I guess you could argue that if Saliba didn't touch the ball and heads into Pedro, okay, it's a late challenge, a bad tackle. You could, you know, maybe argue that. But then once you pull up the evidence that Saliba did get a touch on it as well, I think that's okay. Well, 50-50 challenge. You guys just, you both went for the ball. You both kind of got the ball. There you go.
Dude, they're probably like 6 months ago, Saliba actually did this too. So you know what? Let's punish him now.
Yeah. I mean, it just feels crazy. You know, it's like at the start of the season with all the balls being kicked away and being punished so fiercely. And then all of a sudden that has gone so quiet.
Oh, yeah. Hoyland did that in our game. And I was like, come on. So, and we asked for it. It's, oh God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, in it, just I don't know. It's just been this season, just weird stuff happening to and around the Arsenal team. Despite that, you know, I always try and be a little bit more on the positive side of the fandom, because honestly, I think I just got to step away from the subreddit in the post-match thread, because it is, you're talking about people wanting Trent out of the squad. They want Arteta gone. You know, why did we start four DMs? I don't know. You got no healthy players. You got to put someone out there. There's just zero brain cells in there. And luckily, there's some like-minded people that came in the next day and were like, well, you know, our recent run is of form is, I think for the past five for sure, I think maybe past six, is literally the same as Liverpool. Mm. So we're, you know, yes, we need to make up points, so we need to be better, but that's not a bad run of form. The draws are killing us, certainly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what, at least three, four of those come with some crazy call, whether it be the Declan Rice kicking the ball away, Trossard kicking the ball away, this penalty, you know, it's just craziness this season around Arsenal, and that's just how it is. And they're doing the best they can. I get these performances are not as electric as, you know, a season or two ago, but, you know, it is what it is, and you're still up there in second above all the other big names right now, tied with Forest.
I wouldn't even argue that y'all need to get better. I think you need Liverpool to get worse. I mean, you could stay the same and be okay. I get it. These draws are hurting you a little bit, but Liverpool's drawing too at the same time. So it's,
yeah,
you can make it up that way, but definitely an overreaction. I told you though, this is like Liverpool last year. It's very similar in the weird shit that's happening. You know, this PK reminds me of kind of when Curtis Jones rolled over the ball. And yeah, Curtis Jones got to the ball. He was on the ball. His foot slipped over the ball and red card. It's like, okay, what's going on here? Very similar. It's like he's won the ball, but he won the ball dangerously. It's like, is that a thing? Is that a thing we're going to do now where you can't throw your body to win a play? That's going to cause some weird stuff to happen.
Yeah, I think you could draw a line to where that is a thing, but I think for so many of these examples, it's not anywhere near passing that line. It's, you know, standard play, physical play, right? Like using your body to win the ball, to gain position and everything, like legally though, you know, not doing anything crazy. But
what if in this scenario, take out Saliba, put in Raya, mm-hmm. João Pedro heads it.
Oh,
Raya comes in and is this on, did someone clean. Already talk about this?
Clean. No, but it's clean.
But why?
Because keeper's got a whole another set of rules on him.
But it's the same. It's almost worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can control a fist way more than a blind head. Hey, man.
Yeah.
I think that's the next thing that's going to happen. Some keeper is going to go up to punch. You're going to connect ball, but you're going to connect temple.
Well, I mean, it happened to Gabriel against, was it West Ham? I think Fabianski comes out to punch.
Yes.
Misses and he punch misses. And hits Gabriel.
Where's the PK?
Nothing there. So, like, and I kind of, I get it, but I don't get it in that, like, you know, you gotta, keepers are gonna get a little bit of grace in those situations, but you came out fist flying and you missed the ball and hit a player, so I think that's still a foul.
And we talked about that, and it was unfortunate, but, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes when you're unfortunate, you're still guilty.
Yeah.
And in this situation, I don't think, I do think Saliba was innocent and still lost the game. I mean, what else is he supposed to do there? Win the header early, pull back sooner? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, some people said, oh, well, you know, if João Pedro had this dribbling on the ground, Saliba would have never put his foot in because, you know, it's a late tackle. It's like, what do you mean? He's still right next to the guy. If anything, maybe he doesn't put his foot in, but, you know, he's still trying to force him out and get the ball. I don't think you can use that as an argument of, like, why this was the incorrect move for Saliba to make and why it then constitutes a penalty.
If João Pedro is dribbling the ball and Saliba comes in with the header at his feet and connects the ball and then goes through João Pedro, Saliba's still in the right. Is he not?
That's a pretty good tackle to me.
It's bold, it's brave, and I think it's legal. It's no different than a keeper flying out and winning a header outside the 18 and happy to connect with some. I don't know, dude. Yeah, you're right. That's a weird one. That's just add it to the list.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at with it. Like, it's just another weird mark on the season. keep it on that list. It's out of our hands, really, on these calls. Like, you know, there's no real explanation that a ref needs to give. And even when they, you know, put out the VAR review audio, whatever, of course they're going to say that the guys did a good job because you're trying to sell VAR as a working program, right? And I don't know. It's just craziness. And bummer to drop some points here when on a weekend when, you know, Liverpool does as well, but that's just how it goes. Here we are.
We don't have a lot of notes down for this season, Chad, but I'm just going to go through the two bullets I have. 8:26, week two, Ipswich Gold decides the title. Do you know what this is in reference to?
Ipswich Gold decides the title. No, I forget.
They played Man City week two, lost 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
Ipswich scored a goal in the first 7 minutes, and we think that could be a potential tiebreaker goal, but little did we know City would
really
be...
Really set them
off. Yeah, we did. the second bullet, not going to like this one, Rice red card versus Brighton, September 1st. Classic. Yeah. And then, of course, Saliba.
And also, like, it doesn't necessarily need to be added to the list, but that Arsenal game against Wolves where the defender is like choke slamming Kai Havertz and nothing comes of it. Like, it just, there's just weird aura and weird bad juju on Arsenal this season. All that said, still second, still getting points.
Better than City. You know?
Yeah, better than City. Still, what, 18 games to go here? You don't know what can happen yet. I'm not counting anything out, but yeah, we'll see. I mean, I know people want them to go throw some money at attackers and stuff, which I think is fair. But I think it also would be a big benefit for Arteta to just kind of like loosen the reins on the defensive control a little bit, because that's pretty solid. Like, we don't let in a lot of goals. The goals we do let in are often, well, if you go by the XG, they're often very low XG attempts that find their way in, so we're unlucky in that sense. I just also think it can just be a good shot, you know, even if it's from a hard angle or something. But either way, you know, I think you do have a pretty strong attacking force here, you know, hampered a little bit now that Saka's out. But otherwise, I think enough there that if you kind of let them play their game a little bit more, I think, you know, Arsenal can still have control, but, you know, be a little bit more on the front foot and then kind of kill games and then, you know, sit back rather than the slower kind of play it is right now. But I don't know if that'll happen. I don't know if that's kind of been his plan here to kind of do the City thing of start slow and then kind of unleash as the second half of the season goes on. Could be. I don't know. But
kind of need Saka for that.
Yeah, that'll throw a wrench in things for sure. But, you know, as much as I'd love to be in first right now, I'm also happy in second. So
for sure. Not a bad place.
Yeah.
All right. There's really just two games on this big list that we have here of games that I think we should kind of talk about. First off, Brentford destroying Southampton. Love to see it. And Mbeumo, you're real. You are that guy.
Yeah, I want him.
Dude, for Arsenal or for...
For Arsenal.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be hard to sign anyone on that right wing just because Saka will start every game. But if you can somehow get him on board and then you're kind of entering that like heyday Man City phase where the B squad could also just like still put a nail in the coffin sort of thing. I think he'd be a great addition. I don't think it'll happen. I think he'll go somewhere where he can start every game because he has been, and he's only getting better.
He's kind of moving into like right striker too.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, he's unbelievably good. 25 years old. We probably are going to see even better years to come.
Yeah.
Would it shock me if he's even in the Premier League next year if another big team comes knocking? Not at all. He's just him and Wiesa have such a good combination. I don't want to see him go to a Tottenham, a Man United, a team that doesn't know what they're doing right now. I want him to have some organization. I think he excels in Brentford because of their culture, even though they don't have a great record overall. They have stability in Thomas Frank being there for, what is this, 6 years now? I think he's now maybe the second longest tenured in Premier League under Pep. This the structure there for Brentford and Bumo is just solid. So I think he needs to go to another club like that, even though there's a ton of clubs out there who could definitely use him and what he's doing on the pitch right now. Just great finishes all around for him. He made one bad error in that Arsenal game where I was like, ooh, like he was trying to do too much right outside his own 18. But other than that, man, dude's been on a tear. He's been stellar.
What if he goes to Newcastle?
I'd be fascinated.
They don't really got a right wing locked in.
Jacob Murphy's out there right now. I think obviously Mbeumo would take that position right away. Yeah, that'd make him pretty spicy, actually. If they make Champions League next year, I could see them throwing down some money for him.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty exciting to watch.
That is a bummer.
More pace. Well, yeah, bummer for us, but I think he would slot in there pretty well.
So. That's a sick front three with Gordon, Isaac, and Mbeumo. That's a lot of goals. Palace and Chelsea, Chad Mateta.
Mateta.
Chelsea, man. I had this thought when their coach and everyone was saying we're not in a title race, it almost made me think that just deflated this team. When your own manager is saying, no, we're not in a title race. And everyone's like, oh, we're not? Oh, okay. And I kind of had everyone take a back seat. And now they kind of lost a spark.
Yeah, I'd agree. I don't know if it's because of that, but I think you're right that
it started right when that happened.
It certainly, I think, maybe before you're not really paying too much attention to it or really thinking about it too much. Obviously, it will be brought to your attention through interviews and media and all that. But I think to completely downplay it as we're not in the race, I think is probably the wrong way to go about it. Just
for sure.
Kills the mentality. I don't think you got to say we're in it, we're here to play. But you can put some PR spin on it of we're playing well and looking forward to the next game. Just kind of leave it at that.
One game at a time. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Simple. Here.
So
looking forward to our next game. So easy. No, yeah. Just to say okay. Sick then, dude. Then great even, article.
Yeah, and then even, the players start to say that too in the interviews and it's as much as that's probably just their PR training of this is what you'll say when asked this, now that you're saying it as the player, you're maybe not 100% believing it, but believing it enough, getting behind that idea to say it, right?
Yep.
Shout-outs Crystal Palace. Shout-out Mateta. Taking points off him.
12th place, we're coming.
Moving on up.
disappointed with Fulham and Ipswich.
Ipswich nearly had that.
Yeah.
That's a bummer. I mean,
what are they? 91st minute.
Yeah, so they're at 16 points, tied with Wolves at the moment, so that would have put them at, 18? Would have been out of relegation zone. Just had to keep a little bit more composure there. Not give away some stupid foul in the box.
I think Ipswich can get out of relegation, and I do think the Wolves and Everton are in trouble, mostly because they can't score. Ipswich can at least put a goal on the board and make it interesting here, but between the Wolves and Everton, they didn't score this week.
Yeah. I saw talk, too, that Everton might be looking to move on from Sean Dyche, which I think is probably a big mistake at this point of the season.
Who would they bring in?
That's the question. Like, I saw some fans say, like, yes, you know, this season hasn't really played out as they would want, but Dyche does bring a certain, you know, defensive stability, right? Like, they have 8 draws, 3 wins. You know, it's not a great return, but I feel like, I don't know who you bring in to, like, fix that with, because obviously you can bring in someone who's more attack-minded, but then it's going to leave your back exposed, and then you're probably certainly going down, so.
He's literally the guy who you bring in to not get relegated. And
yeah.
It's interesting they've kept him for this long.
Mm-hmm. I think if you're going to get rid of him, it needed to be a while ago. You need to just kind of see, okay, this season is not taking off as we wanted. And change early.
What did this team expect, dude?
Yeah, that's the thing too.
You lost your best player in Onana. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not scoring goals.
Your star player right now is Pickford, which is great.
It's bailing great to have you out. That. Bailing but, yeah, you out.
He's bailing you out. You know, your attacking line is not really doing anything. You know, midfield is the same Everton midfield, you know, minus Onana now, so it's just not a whole lot going on there. Your backline and keeper are pretty solid, but you know, you have what, 39-year-old Ashley Young.
It's the age. It's the age that's gonna break them down. Yeah. Tarkowski, God, he's gotta be up there. What's he at? Tarkowski 32, Keane 31, Ashley Young 39. You got some youth in Branthwaite, but I guarantee he is thinking, somebody rescue me.
I think there were rumors in the summer that United was looking at him.
Yeah, Tottenham. So. Tottenham last year too.
Mm, yeah.
Which honestly, not a bad shout for Tottenham because they need it. Injury relief. Yeah, fascinating. I didn't know Everton was gonna get rid of Dyche. So it doesn't make any sense in my book. You ride or die with him this year, personally, because you're still not in relegation. You're pretty damn close, but this is the guy who kept Burnley alive for felt like a decade. Yeah, exactly. And he's kept you alive like the last 3 years, Everton.
Yeah. And it, you know, if anything, last season looks worse than it was because of the point deductions.
Yep.
So
yep.
You know, is it an off season? Sure, but I don't know who you go to and put more trust in to just scrape by and get out of this season and into the next, you know, be a big risky move. I don't know if they'll take it, but we'll see.
Yeesh. Aston Villa squeaks by Leicester. Watkins really wanted to lose that game for them. And the renaissance of Ross Barkley right now too is kind of fascinating. With Luton Town last year, kind of rediscovered himself, and now he's playing pretty damn good ball at Villa. Yeah. I think he has a couple goals in his last. Yeah, he has 2 goals in his last 5, but playing like just decent in the mid. I've always had a thing for Ross Barkley. He's like James Milner 2.0 for me.
I can see that.
Yeah, kind of like can go anywhere on the pitch and like not suck.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He won't like light it up necessarily. He'll have his moments, no. But I think as long as he's a decent, most of the time solid player, like any team can kind of use him.
Yep. So squeaking by there. Bournemouth and Everton again. Bournemouth, you got the job done. I guess the thing with Everton here, their top goal scorer is McNeil. Like with 3 goals, by the way.
Yeah.
Is there one player out there that they can go out and grab, like just to help with that? Like I'm trying to think of like mid-table teams with a second striker that's not being used. Again, the Muniz Fulham pick comes to mind again.
Yeah. I think you'd have to look either like out of England or grab someone that's performing somewhat well in the championship and hope that can translate into your struggling offense in the Premier League. But I don't know. I don't know that Everton has enough pull on its own of being like, you know, if you'd grab someone out of England of, okay, hey, now you're here in the Premier League, you made it to the top, but we could get relegated. So.
What about Rashford?
I think that's a great shout. I mean, you're not buying him, clearly. You don't got that kind of money, but he's not playing at United, seemingly won't be playing at United. Throw out some loan offer where you can pay what you can, and I'm sure United would probably at least seriously consider it. Gets however much off of their mm-hmm. books. Gets that player out of the room, out of the training, you know. Rashford, do you take it? I think you should, you know, just to play.
This could be a re-spark to everything you're trying to get going.
If you go to Everton for 6 months and you save them from relegation, that's a great story. And
hero.
Yeah, take you to whatever your next team might be, but
could be Everton.
Could be Everton. They're back.
I did forget to mention, Chad, that Casemiro no more. Are you sad? Are you sad? I'm a little sad.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I'm sad, but
well, I wanted to see spring Casemiro to like prove that he could still do it. Am I shocked? Hell no. That guy was long gone. I think, after 2 games ago when he was just like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, he was pretty much...
in the rain.
Yeah, I mean, even at the start of the season, I think we saw like he was... He's here, but, you know, wasn't really giving it his all.
And he's done so.
Yeah, so, you know, now he's... He's off on a new adventure, and I don't know. I think United will miss him a little bit.
A little. He does show up, a little, yeah. He has been really good when he does decide when, but he's gone now. Okay, something I've been dying to talk to you about. Mm-hmm. Did West Ham just kick off Man City season?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, West Ham has been pretty bad, right? So, like, it hasn't been a great showing by them for them, you know, for City to come in and beat them pretty handedly.
They sure got a great confidence boost.
Yeah, I mean, they'll definitely, you know, take the confidence and relearning how to score a goal here, I think, and use that. I don't know. I want to say no, just because I want City to go back to losing and not kicking on with this season. But you know, I think they figured something out with Savinho and Haaland. Certainly, that connection is what they need to build right now, because, you know, De Bruyne is out there, and I think he'll continue to kind of do his thing, but he's not the same De Bruyne that we...
Yeah, he's kind of washed.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Haaland will still have that drive and that pace and power and all that, and Savinho is kind of what they wanted Grealish to be, right? Of a pacey winger who will dribble at defenders and get the cross in, and... This kid's doing it. So,
well, I would like to say though, Doku was doing it too for a little bit.
That's fair.
And they're roughly the same age. I mean, they got to be at least close in age. They're young wingers. Close. So I have hope for Savinho because I do like the way he plays. But it just feels very Doku, where they're going to do the same thing. Teams are going to figure out how you play, and then you're kind of just done. Yeah. So I will like to see what happens there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think I'm not going to say they're back, but...
But will you say this could kickstart their season?
It could. You know, it's not just a scrappy 1-0 win against a struggling West Ham side. It's, you know, okay, one was an own goal, but, you know, a good three goals you scored there to put the team away, and you know, you go to away to Brentford next, which I think will be a good test.
I agree.
Brentford at home is been a great team at home, so we'll see. You know, it's I think back more so than they were in recent weeks, but I don't know if it's like a fully we're back on track, we're gonna start climbing again.
They were smiling way more than I've seen them smile in a long time, which was unfortunate. Yeah, it's West Ham. Who, if you don't score five on West Ham, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's the thing. This is a West Ham with, you know, they couldn't get Kudus on the ball. He had one attempted take on, and that guy's normally at least attempting 8-9, I think, is what we kind of average it out to, completing like five of those. So it's West Ham is a team they need to be looking at a new manager, honestly. But
Graham Potter.
Could be his time to shine.
I think that's the right club for him. A little bit of youth, a little bit of veterans in there.
Yeah.
A team that desperately needs motivation. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who they get and how soon. Because, man, how many goals have gone against West Ham? I feel like they are probably at one of the most in the league.
Goal differential close. Minus 15.
We're close. 39 goals allowed, and the top is 45. Luckily, they can score.
But. Well, you're down Antonio now. You're down Bowen. Fulkrug is back, but he was just out for quite a while.
He looked decent in this game.
So, yeah, they'll need to kind of figure out their scoring again, I think. But, yeah, I think if you're going to move on from your manager, I think you just do it sooner rather than later. I know a loss against City is not all that unexpected, so it won't be the game to, you know, get him the sack, but they got Fulham next. I don't know. If Fulham shows up and puts them away pretty handedly, I think you maybe just kind of rip the bandaid off then and try and do something with this season. You know, it's you're just kind of floundering right now.
For sure. Wasting time. Mm-hmm. All right, Chad. Tottenham, Newcastle. First of the weekend.
Controversy.
Let's do it. The two big parts is the handball by Joe Linton leading to the Gordon goal, and then the Gordon, we'll call it a head injury, which I would argue off of a foul, off of who caught him?
Kulusevski.
Yes, with a pretty hard shoulder right to the face. But let's talk about the Joe Linton handball and what you read as the handball rules, claiming that to be legal because he didn't score.
So if you remember a couple seasons ago, the handball rule was if it comes off a hand and then leads to a goal, it was called back for handball.
Right.
And it was still pretty kind of gray area of like how much time can pass between and you know, what again would constitute a handball. And I think they did kind of okay there where it was just like if it hit a hand at all, it was that, you know, section of the rules kind of opened up, but they seemingly scrapped that, changed it a little bit. I don't remember hearing about the change, but I guess they did. Where now the handball rule is, you know, as long as it's not intentional or you're not making your body bigger, it's a natural position, and ball comes off of you and you don't take control of the ball, and you know, a teammate takes control of the ball and leads to a goal, then it's fine. That's fair play. But so I think had it come off and Joe Linton starts that attack, I think they would have called it back for handball, but because it just kind of bounces off his hand and falls to, I don't know, it was Bruno Tonali, I don't know who it was, and they pass it off to Gordon, technically not a handball. I don't know. It's
That's crazy.
That's a tough one to take, I think, because it goes from Tottenham clearing the ball out, basically, to instantly a Newcastle attack.
Why didn't the ref just call that a handball right from the Joe Linton play on?
His
arm was sticking out enough for me mm-hmm. to be like, yeah, that was a handball right then and there. I understand maybe Joe Linton didn't expect the ball to be hitting him, but also follow the rules and it wouldn't have hit you.
Yeah, I think because you can kind of look at proximity here and it is fairly close and it's, you know, a strongly hit ball, but his arms are kind of like not all the way out, but I wouldn't say directly at his sides. You know, he's not in any straitjacket by any means. You know, it's his arm is out there, and I think if the rule changes next season, it'll be off of this play because that ball bounces off him and falls to, I think, Bruno, who then feeds in Gordon, and, you know, Gordon shoots and scores. So you go from, you know, maybe not a great clearance, maybe it wouldn't have gotten too far, but a clearance from the defensive line to instantly not only a counterattack, but, you know, a almost like a 3-on-2, 3-on-1 situation. Right. So very harsh. I'm with Ainge on this one. I think that it is unfair. I get that technically by the law of the game here, it is allowed, but it feels a little bit crazy and like a little bit oversight on whoever designed that rule.
Did you see the Dan Burns handball too?
No, I don't think so.
Check that one out because it's very close to the sleeve, which and it was another moment of. Oh, good. This picture is actually linked to the Spurs subreddit. Well, first comment, absolutely baffling. So okay. there's their take on it, which I don't disagree fully. I think it's close enough to where, you know, you could call it. I think you should. The Burns one, looking at it again, I think you should call that one. It's his arm. He's kind of doing a wing motion with his arms. They're sticking out. It catches them below the sleeve. Sleeve might be touching.
Come on.
But it's there.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, the Gordon situation. If the ref... Now, yeah.
I'm just comparing this against the Saliba situation, since these both happened in the same weekend here. One is... Okay, Saliba does catch João Pedro, but as we saw, gets some of the ball in there as well. Here, Kulusevski doesn't get any of the ball. It is a little bit more Gordon cutting back as Kulusevski arrives, but you do catch the guy full shoulder into the face.
So how is that not a PK?
I think that's a foul. I think that's unfortunate for you to give that foul, but if you're not running in there like that, he's not falling over, right? He's not bleeding from the face for nothing. I think that's a penalty, and I don't know that it was checked. I know Kulusevski didn't get a card for it, so, you know, if it was checked, they didn't see any issue with it, but... Hey, yay, yay.
Remember our, I think it was our, what did we want to see at the beginning of this season, throughout this season? It was consistency. I think this is a great episode for showing the lack of consistency we had this weekend. I mean, something that never happens, heads clashing, leading to a PK, and then a shoulder to the bleeding nose. Did he break his nose?
I didn't see anything. I didn't look either, but I mean, for it to be bleeding that quickly, I think it's probably broken at least a little bit.
Yeah, it's just kind of wild how that I didn't even think about the actual foul that probably should have happened there. Even though I called it a foul, I think, okay, at that point, how far away was the ball when Gordon made that cut in? A foot from his feet?
Let's see. Try and see it real quick. Yeah, maybe. Like, it's hard to tell because, you know, ball keeps rolling away as he gets hit, but it wasn't a crazy cutback where it's like he's not going to get to that. Because, yeah, it looks like Pedro Porro is also over there. It looks like he's moving goal side as well rather than moving to the top of the box where Gordon moved the ball. So I think he doesn't get hit. He still has possession, potentially gets a shot off. I think that's a penalty. He didn't play the ball, caught the guy. Sucks that it happened. He didn't mean to, but that's just how it goes sometimes.
You don't mean to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
Ainge, have anything to say about that?
I didn't look too deep, but I know he was just kind of harping on, didn't seem like it was a level playing field on the day. Trying to call out the ref and stuff without directly doing it.
Sure.
Since, you know, God forbid you call someone on that. But, yeah, it's, I don't know that Tottenham would have went on to win either way, but, definitely a hard game to take, especially considering you went up, what, like 4 minutes in or something.
Mm-hmm.
Then if the Gordon goal gets called back for handball, you maybe have a more time to get some control of the game. And, I think even Isak's goal was a little bit fortunate in that it came off of, I think, Dragusin.
Yeah. A little bit.
Fell right to him, but yeah, just more pain for Tottenham. All these injuries and everything, and now the refs against you.
It's stacking up quite a bit for them.
Yeah.
Lost 4 out of their last 6. Ouch. Ouch. Mm-hmm. And there's Castle creeping up. Won 5 out of their last 6. They're this top 7 now. 8. It's pretty tight.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
Yeah, we'll see who Chelsea got next. Bournemouth next, so that won't be an easy game, I don't think. It's Arsenal, Tottenham when we get back from the FA Cup or something this week.
Yep.
So some spicy games coming up for sure. I mean, you got Liverpool versus Forest. That's one versus.
I know, man.
2-3.
That's going to be good. That's a rematch that we will not take as lightly as we did the first round. So, all midweek games, and then we go right into the weekend. So, mm-hmm. It'll be a busy one. A lot of games in this next, 20 days?
I feel like, they've just been... I feel like normally it was like the festive period was packed, and then it kind of spread out again. But I feel like this year it's like... festive period start, and it's just like back to back to back to back going.
Yep. We'll have 3 match days by the end of the month.
Yeesh.
From this point on. So.
Wow. Yeah.
A lot. All right. Should we get to our nominations, Chad? Wrap this thing up?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, unfortunately, West Ham is not the team of the week.
Oh, come on.
I know. But... I have 2 nominations.
Sure.
Ipswich for getting the point against Fulham almost getting the 3 points. Pretty clutch for them, just considering where they are at the table. And then Crystal Palace also getting the late equalizer to earn a massive point against Chelsea. Both those games, I had the other teams winning. So
sure,
upsets, upsets for sure. I had a feeling this was going to be an upset weekend. Just with all the matchups, it's like no one is going to hold their score line, at least down the board. So those are my 2 big ones. But if I had to really pick one, I'm leaning towards Palace over Chelsea.
Yeah, I pretty much had those 2, like mentioned for Brentford, but it's Southampton. you made that one lady's day. She predicted correctly.
Oh man, that was brutal. How awkward.
But you know, you gotta be able to laugh at yourself a little bit every yep. now and then. So, but yeah, I think I'd probably lean Palace on this. If Ipswich wouldn't have given up that late penalty and got the win, they for sure would have been my team of the week. They're right there, though.
Mm-hmm.
They could maybe do something. But Palace taking points off of, you know, what was a pretty electric Chelsea team in recent weeks. Thing looks good. Palace coming to life a little bit. Trying to get up to their home there at 12.
For my player, I'll stick with two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Bruno Fernandes because it seemed like he was the only one on that pitch that didn't have the cold affecting him. He was making sure. Great passes. His work ethic was probably the best we've seen. Of course, you got to do your thing against Liverpool. If it weren't for him on that pitch, I don't think there's any way Man United would have won that game. I don't think anyone else in my head, at least on the Man U side, played as decently as Bruno. Diallo had spurts.
Mm-hmm.
But like after that, dude, it was like kind of shockingly bad from everyone else.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I guess Martinez a little bit, but unconventionally, he's up there. And then Sells from Forest, man. Just another clean sheet. I think he had 5 saves on the day, 3 punches. The man was on it. So that's more of a collective 2 for Forest. Yeah. It's a collective back line. I mean, they're all studs back there. We all see it. Nuno has them trained to a T. I just want to give shout-outs and flowers to my keeper. But I do think I think Bruno gets it. I think that's kind of where I'm leaning. Yeah.
I like it.
And it's not even a stat thing. It's just straight how he played.
Straight vibes.
Yep.
Yeah. I like those. I think that's a good shout. I've got to... I mean, I get it's against Southampton, but...
I know. I knew it was coming.
2 goals and assists. It was cooking.
It's a glazing and Bumo day. It had to happen.
I think I would lean in Bumo just because it was just a strong performance. I get it, Southampton, so that hurts him a little bit.
Not much.
but to still go out there and do it and just kind of like really, you know, put your stamp on the game and you know, 5 goals into your goal differential could be big at some point. You know, yep. You're now positive, +3. You know, Brighton's, a point above you. Fulham is 3 points above you, but they're both on goal differential of +1 and +3. You know, and you look one more up, Aston Villa's -2 with, you know, they're a couple points ahead of you, but it could be big. It could be big to get some good distance on the goal differential. So I think I'd lean a Bumo on this one.
Fair. And then goal. Got a favorite?
I liked Ethan Nunwary. You know, it's yes, right at the keeper, and he probably should have saved it. But I think just the confidence to pick it up in that space, realize you were given so much space, and you know, drive in and get a good shot off at what I think he's like 17 or something. So it's like, come on, I'm not doing that at 17.
When they said 17, I was like, dude, looks old enough to be my dad. Come on, man. That's crazy. 17?
Yeah. Wild.
Must be nice.
Yeah, I think that is my fave of the week. Arsenal bias in there for sure, but I'll shout out Martinez's goal. It's a little bit, you know, happenstance, I guess, of weirdness in that game, but it was a banger.
it could have been so bad though if he just straight skied it, because he kicked it so flipping hard.
Yeah,
so hard. But it went in, so yeah,
went in. But if I had to pick one goal from that game, it's definitely Gakpo. He just
so pretty
at the flip of a switch, just turned on and was you know, yeah, the Gakpo that we were gushing over during the Euros, and
it's the same.
It was incredible. He I mean, De Ligt, I don't think needed to needed to slide in there, but he did, and it just makes it look even better. So
Gakpo had enough time to stop, watch him fly by, go damn, and then keep going to the goal. That's how much time he had to finish that shot.
Yeah, it was nice, very nice.
Yeah, I like that one too. That was special. I thought Diallo goal was good too. The goals today were nice. Gibbs White had a nice goal. I'm biased. Gakpo's a big one for me. It was just so crisp.
I mean, I think honestly, I have to change mine to Gakpo, because I watched that and like, without trying to, I just was like, wow, like. Audibly came out without me even thinking about it, because it was just so good. So I think Gakpo actually gets my pick here.
I'm not big on recording myself, but I might start doing it for these Liverpool games, just to see like the reactions in the house, because yeah. I'm giving some like one of those, and I'm probably getting like eye rolls behind me. And so I might try to do that for our next game secretly. And hopefully forget about it, because I never want to play up to the camera. But it's all, it's all natural. I promise you, it's real emotions. It's actual yelling. It's actual, please do not screw this up. And then when we do, it's like, oh my god. The uh-ohs I say are real. The when I reach out an arm and grab someone and go, oh god, it's all real. It's real emotions.
Yeah. That's it. That's what this game does to us.
God, I hate it. I hate it. So I love it, but I hate it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, Chad. This is probably our longest episode of the season. My bad. Liverpool rant in the beginning.
A lot going on, honestly. A lot of drama for, like you said, a lot of draws, but just a lot of controversy and weirdness in some of these games. So,
and I thought we didn't have much to talk about today, but here we are. Here we are. All right, Chad. Been a pleasure. Episode 91.
Always.
With that, Hooligans Pitch. We're out. Peace.
Peace.